Let us pray. Lord God, in your presence, we worship you. Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning, into our hearts, into our mind, into our whole beings, and call us into your embrace of love. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, if you have an opportunity to become a superhero for one day, who would you be? Maybe take it? A superhero for one day, who would you be?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Why? Why would you pick Wonder Woman?
That's cool.
That's cool. All right, that's good.
And she works for peace.
Oh, work for peace. Great. Yeah, early on in the Sermon on the Mount, peacemakers. Exactly. Anyone else? If you have an opportunity.
Gandalf.
Okay. Hey, why
would
you
pick him? Are you not
yeah.
Get back to the sermon proper. The reason I ask that question, my dear brothers and sisters, is that today, as you can see on the pew sheet, if you're not already one, you know, I want you to become a superhero. And that superhero, based on the scripture, is to be fools for Christ. Fools for Christ. Now, you may say, what are you talking about? Well, let's talk about that today. Right? I want us to consider being fools for Christ. It is there in the scripture. It's not something I dreamed up, because Paul talks about it, about himself and others. All right? Being fools for Christ. Now, too often the world look at Christianity as foolishness. Foolishness. Why get up early, like today, to come to church, right? When you can actually sleep in on Sunday. Christians don't have fun, do they? No? Yes? Why help those in need when you can help yourself? And why be a fool for Christ? Well, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 4 today, chapter 4, it actually said exactly those words. We are fools for Christ in chapter 4. Now, Paul, the apostle, doesn't mince his word often. Very direct, uncompromising, and at times confrontational, that makes people uncomfortable with him or his writings.
Paul contends that the gospel has a way of taking all our expectation and turning them on their head. Where the world's measuring stick would indicate folly or weaknesses, the gospel proclaimed to those with ears to hear wisdom and power. That's what we heard in the passage today. That's an upside down thinking. Our faith is counterintuitive and counterculture. We worship a crucified Christ. We call to be servant leaders. We are told to love our enemies. Yes, our faith is oxymoron. We are wise fools. We are wise fools. Now, the way of the world is often in collusion with the way of God. Paul's message is that your money, your hyper-spirituality, your holier-than-thou faith, your ethnically pure heritage, your popularity, none of it cuts any slack when the time of testing comes. Many a times, Paul talks about his own weaknesses. If you are shopping for an apostle, by the measure of the world, it would not be a positive sales pitch from Paul. It's a little bit like a marriage counselor telling you that his four failed marriages has made him an expert in marriage counseling. Or an engineer, and we have some of our engineers here in St. Luke's, or an engineer showing you photos of all her bridges that had fallen down as proof that she could build one that would remain standing. So let us unpack further. Let's look at about this foolishness and being fools for Christ. Firstly, the cross is foolish. The cross is foolish. Why God bothered to come himself in person in the form of a human being as son Jesus to die a terrible death, suffer so much for sinners? Surely he could have done it another way. And we see this contrast between the strength of the world and the strength of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus said, "Don't you realize that I am able right now to call my Father and for 12 companies, more if I want them, of fighting angels would be here, battle ready. But if I did that, how would the scriptures come true that say this is the way it has to be?" Jesus could have saved himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he didn't. He acted like a fool and a criminal and be arrested. Jesus rejected the way of the world, the way of might and power. He has to display ultimate weakness in the face of evil. So the cross is foolish. Then Christian living is also foolish. The beatitude that we heard from the Gospel of Matthew today says, "Blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who are persecuted, blessed are you when people insult you." That sounds pretty foolish, isn't it? Are you kidding? Is this the way we are supposed to act in Christian living? Well, this could be more like it. "Blessed are the powerful, for they can make laws that guarantee they get their way, including bullying politicians or buying politicians and judges and enforcing the laws they make. Or blessed are those who think compassion is for sissies, for they will never have to forgive others or sacrifice for others. A child writes, "Dear God, the bad people laughed at Noah, saying, 'You make an ark on the dry land, you fool.' But Noah was smart. He stuck with you. That's what I would do. Sign, your friend, Nan, the little boy." Paul also says in verse 27, "God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chooses the weak things of the world to shame the strong." Paul insists there are normal ways of assessing smart practices and display of power are prone to deceive us. Is the word of God powerful? Yes, Paul insists. But the power will only be seen as foolishness and weakness to others. So Christian living is foolish. The third point, wisdom of humans versus wisdom of God. An employee of the White Star Line at the launch of Titanic back in May 31st, 1911 said, "Not even God himself could sink this ship." Apparently that's what was said. But shortly after that, Titanic went to the bottom. In 1991, the Occidental, not accidental, but Occidental, I don't know how they got this name, Occidental College, a 103-year-old Presbyterian-related college in California, removed two crosses from the outside of its campus chapel. The crosses were removed because the faculty members were afraid they gave false signals to the community as to the nature of their commitment to Christianity. The crosses were bad for their public image. Wisdom, power, and the cross. That's what Paul talks about today in his letters. This foolishness is the means that God has chosen to save you and I and of humankind. God's wisdom and human wisdom are often in competition. The Corinthians then, and many today, want to alter God's truth so it would be acceptable and palatable to their friends and acquaintances. Paul says, "You don't understand God's wisdom at all. The Lord isn't looking for common ground with the unbelieving world. It is not right to alter or water down the message to make it more acceptable to the natural mind." Point is, the Lord's wisdom was never meant to be palatable by the unsaved world. Living according to God's wisdom is not going to receive universal appreciation and approval. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To you and I, it is the power of God. God works in unexpected ways. Some people may say that the gospel of grace is a message of weakness. But Paul says it is a message of power that can be found in the book of Romans chapter 1. Also back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Friends, that is the message of the crucified Christ. That is the message that you and I believe in. The message is too simple for some people, but God uses it to save people. The crucified Christ may look weak and foolish, but this is the power and the wisdom of God. So, let me end with these verses. So God decided to call the nobodies of this world, those who are willing to admit their needs, those who are willing to accept the gift of salvation. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So let us not be afraid to appear weak and foolish, because God's power is in you, in all of us, and to make us powerful and strong. Then Paul goes on to say, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Wow. When I am weak, then I am strong. Well, sorry, you can't be superhero anymore. But you can be fools for Christ. Because when we are foolish in the sight of the world, when we may consider to be weak, like the Sermon of the Mount, we are strong in Christ. Fools for Christ. Amen.